Okay, joining me on the phone now is Damien Jackson. Damien's a member of the congregation of the Adelaide Royal Presbyterian Church and of Dublin City Interfaith Forum. Good morning, Damien. How are you?
Morning, Mark. I'm grand. Thanks for asking me on.
You're very welcome, Damien, and thanks very much for taking the call, because what I wanted to talk to you about was it's something that I'm seeing grown. It's really the last maybe 6 months or 12 months it's really started to grow, and you can see it gathering a pace. Social media is a wonderful place for sharing and lots of things, but it's also now a place where people are using it to, how would you say, influence people and their attitudes towards immigration, race, and things like that. Have you experienced that kind of growth?
Yeah, I have. I have, certainly. I mean, I think probably almost everybody has. And it's certainly, you know, it's certainly the ugly side, I suppose, of social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's undoubtedly more prevalent on social media than in normal conversation or anything like that. I think people are, you know, people say things on social media that they would never say face to face to people.
Yeah.
So it's you know, it is the place where this sort of thing tends to be more prevalent, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not so much in Ireland per se, and I mean, but certainly in mainland Europe and the UK, there's been the rise of these right wing groups, for want of a better word. And what I see on social media a lot is they hijack images. They take images. I think the one that I saw most recent was the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings. And some groups kind of hijack these images. They kind of put their rhetoric over the top of them. And it spins the message. And, you know, it might be something as simple as, you know, would these men have bothered if they'd known what way our lands would turn out, or stuff like that. And it's really, I see a massive growth, and especially maybe if I've UK friends or of people on the Facebook or stuff like that, or Twitter or wherever. And this is by no means to disparage those. They're wonderful sites and they do great stuff. I mean, but it's the internet and people are free to post what they like, obviously. So, but people's attitudes are really changed by what they see. They automatically react to what they see. They see this picture and they automatically react, and then it influences their decision making.
Well, it can do. I mean, some people, it's sort of a gut reaction, but like you say, some people are trying to shape the conversation and trying to distort, you know, what it might originally have been about to say something completely different. I mean, I think you're right. In Ireland, you know, it hasn't been as big of a problem as in other countries, but I certainly don't think we can be complacent. And you're right, you know, there's a bigger, I suppose, problem with right-wing political groupings in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people, obviously, who think like that in Ireland. There's no doubt about that. They haven't, as yet, got much political support, and hopefully that will stay the case. But I think, you know, to counter this sort of thing, you can't, you know, clamp down and just ban it, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there is incitement to hatred legislation, but if you go down the legal route, you know, you can just drive it underground. So, I mean, there is a place for a legal approach. But I think more broadly to tackle this, you know, I think as a country we need to work towards being a society, an integrated society, where everybody, you know, who lives here has a place and is able to sort of contribute to the society.
Yeah. And do you think as well as, and again, people are free to make up their minds, but in Europe and this part of the world, and even Ireland, as we know, the last seven, eight years, it's been tough, hard times. People are struggling. They're finding it hard to make ends meet. They're finding it tough to get work, stuff like that. And it's very easy sometimes to manipulate those feelings of people and say, well, you know, the immigrants are taking all the jobs, or these people are taking it. And what that does is it just turns the screw of how people are finding things tough, and maybe sometimes they're looking to point the finger or someone to blame, and then someone comes along with an idea, and they say, no, I'm going to just twist this little knife in you, and then that kind of turns into a little bit of a feeding frenzy.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, when things are going badly, you know, it's a very human thing. We all do it. We try to find somebody to blame, somebody to pin the fault on. It's a natural thing to do. And, you know, we tend to like to pin the blame on somebody who's different to us.
Yeah.
Who we can see as different in some way. And so you're right. Those sort of metaphors or those sort of images have been around for a long, long time in all sorts of different countries, you know, that they're taking our jobs or they're taking our benefits. And we've seen that here as well recently. Yeah, I mean, we've always been a country that's had emigration as a problem.
Yes.
And it's only recently that people have immigrated into our country, which is a good thing. It means we're doing well.
Yeah.
And that immigration, you know, brought an awful lot to the country. It brought a lot of jobs, for starters. When there's more people, there's more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it revived an awful lot of communities. And, you know, it just provides a lot of cultural stimulation and everything, having different people from different cultures in the country. So, you know, it's been a huge benefit to the country. And I think we need to remember that. And also remember that lots of millions of Irish people are spread all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we like to think that Irish people all over the world have made a good contribution to those countries. And there's no reason why, therefore, we shouldn't expect people who've moved into Ireland to make a contribution here as well. I think we just need to remember that, you know, and celebrate it as a good thing. And we'll come through this.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nightmare for people. But it's not. I mean, it's not. We can't blame it on anybody else.
No, absolutely.
You know, we decided what politicians to elect. They made the decisions they made. And we elected them again.
And
we can't blame it on people who've moved to the country who didn't elect them at all.
I do find it's interesting you made that point, because I've made that point with many people about the Irish. I mean, I find it really hypocritical for Irish people to complain about immigration. I mean, we made a national pastime of it. You know, there's not a nation on this planet that hasn't been touched by Irish feet, you know, and we like to think that we are welcomed with open arms and all of them, and we've benefited all those societies and everybody loves the Irish and we're good no matter where we go. But yet when you flip the coin, we put the shutters down and we don't want none of this. And it's completely hypocritical in a lot of ways, you know. I mean, people say, yeah, but the Irish went abroad and they worked. Well, not necessarily. I mean, you take the US, for example, for an example, thousands of people went to the US, but they went illegally. And by going and working illegally, that has a knock-on effect on the local economy. You know, because it creates...
Yeah, well, it does have a knock-on effect, but even that has a positive effect.
Yes, absolutely.
A very positive effect, because people who have gone to countries and are there without, you know, a work permit or whatever, they can't scrounge on any benefits. They're not entitled to them.
Yeah.
They have to work, and they're the ones who end up doing the work that nobody else wants to do, and they're the ones who end up being exploited. So they're making a huge contribution to society.
Absolutely.
Without having any sort of security or any sort of safety, you know, in the society. They're living a very sort of difficult existence.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're often very demonised, but in America, the whole agricultural sector of the United States depends on migrants from Mexico and Guatemala and countries like that. So they do make a huge contribution. And there's, of course, people in that situation here in Ireland as well, working in our restaurants and in our hotels and all sorts of industries. And we need to see that, A, they are actually contributing to the economy, and B, they're living a very dangerous existence. They haven't come here for the fun of it.
That's true.
You know, they must have come from a bad situation in order to have to do that.
Yeah.
Certainly and, not, you know, coming here to scrounge or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very small world now that we live in with, you know, the media and social media and stuff like that. It's very small. I mean, migration and immigration is a fact of life now, and it's not going to go away. It's just going to continue apace.
Yeah,
and
I
think, as you said, in Ireland, we probably haven't got to the levels of maybe the UK or some mainland European countries, where there really is a growing resentment that's starting to bubble into a hatred that's going down a very negative path. And I think we haven't got that far yet in Ireland. Certainly the feelings are bubbling under. You know, and do we have a responsibility, you know, or how do we go about maybe integrating people into society in a way where we don't end up at that level of hatred and angst that we're seeing in other countries?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. I mean, first thing, of course, is to remember that most people are not, you know, full of hatred or resenting people, either here or in the UK or in other European mm-hmm. countries. It is a minority, and most people recognise that, you know, migrants are human beings too and have the same needs and desires and are, you know, fundamentally good people like most, you know, most people all over the world. So, I mean, it's important not to get too downhearted about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most Irish people are welcoming and do want to build a country that's, you know, a good place for everybody to live in. So, you know, that's a positive thing. So, but in order to do it, I mean, to integrate, I think, you know, it's easy to say, but everybody has a part to play, you know, from the government right down.
Yeah.
And the government has been pretty lax on this recently. You know, there used to be a Minister of State for Integration, but that post was dropped during the recession. But recently now they've created a new Minister of State position in the Department of Justice, and Aidan O'Riordan is doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully he'll restart a bit of initiative from the top, if you will. But, I mean, also in things like schools and everything, schools have been much more proactive now in terms of, you know, building a culture in the school where everybody can take part and, you know, where there's respect for people's different backgrounds and stuff. So, you know, I think it needs to happen at all levels of society.
Yep.
But it's something that, you know, certainly needs to have a lead in government as well.
You know what I mean? Skills are probably the front line. They're probably the biggest interface of cultures. And the great thing about kids is that they're not tainted by prejudice or anything else. Well, most of them aren't. And
well, at a young age, certainly, yeah, they don't care. They didn't even notice. They just want to play.
Yeah, well, that's true, which is a great thing. And certainly, you know, you would hope to think that from a government level, the skills would be getting hugely supported. To work on programs of integration and stuff like that, because, you know, it's a cliche, I know, but today's school children are tomorrow's leaders, and, you know, we can if we teach kids early on, you know, live and let live and stuff like that, and we're not breeding into them the other stuff. I was going to call it the hate, but I don't really want to call it that. But I've said it now, so but not breathing
well,
into them the
more,
hate. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's easy to identify sort of hatred, but the more subtle racism is more dangerous, really, because a lot of the time we don't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a lot more prevalent, I suppose, and a lot of time we don't even recognise it in ourselves.
Yeah,
and you know, it's more easy to identify, you know, extremist stuff. And in a way, so it's more easy to tackle it. But the subtle ways that racism appears in society are more difficult, and you have to be more deliberate about it. I actually came across a brilliant app put together by an anti-racism organisation in Australia called Everyday Racism.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it on the iPhone or on Android. I think it's just called Everyday Racism. And it's called Everyday Racism by a group called All Together Now, and you adopt a character from an ethnic minority, and every day it sends you emails or tweets or something with sort of casual racism thrown in and asks you how you'd react to that, and it really puts you into the shoes of somebody who's not from the majority sort of population, and opens your eyes a bit, I suppose, to how there's a sort of an everyday subtle racism in a lot of social interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been very shocking for me, really, I suppose, as well. You know?
I would well believe it. I mean, and you talk about the subtleties of it, and I was in, and it just struck me as how subtle some things are, and how it's just out there sometimes we don't really react to. I was in my local shop on Saturday morning just getting a bit of breakfast or whatever, and all the newspapers are on the counter there, as you know. And one newspaper had a headline which read, "Refugee rapist on prowl." And I read it and I thought to myself, surely the news is there's a rapist on the prowl.
Yeah.
Do we need that other word?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it struck me, and I'm delighted that you brought up the subtleties of it, because that really struck me of that. If there's a dangerous person out there, that's surely the story. It doesn't matter where they're from or who they are or where they come from, if he's a Martian or whatever. Surely the story is there's a dangerous person on the loose.
Yeah, so that's implicitly painting refugees as dangerous people.
Yes.
Whereas refugees are like everybody else.
Absolutely.
You know, most, they're perfectly normal people, and some of them are dangerous. You know, like they are in society at large, but most of them are not.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, that word is unnecessary. Why did the newspaper put it in there?
Yeah.
It's like one of those stories that you're talking about, like they're taking our jobs, that it just gets bandied about and just tars the way we think about people without us often even realising it.
Yeah, it's true, and it's out there, and it's continuing to pace. And as I say, every headline I see or everything I see, and I mean, we had the horrible story over the weekend, of course, about that man being killed in the Middle East, the British journalist, the British aid worker. Again, you know, how these things are reported usually affects our reaction to them. And I sometimes just take a step back and I go, you know, not taken away from the horrible thing that happened, but sometimes the way it's reported is hugely inflammatory. Yeah. Listen, Damien, it's been great talking to you, and I could chat to you about this stuff for like hours and hours, because it's there every day. I see it, you know, and I decide to myself, hold on a minute, what are you, you know, and you'd get into conversations.
Yeah, but I mean, you're right. The thing to do is to be conscious of it and to step back and think, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Yeah. Rather than just kind of let it pass. You're right.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the bottom line of it is that a lot of people just aren't conscious of how they're being manipulated. And how these images and these words and this stuff is just switching on their psyche in a subtle kind of a way to predispose them to a certain attitude. And I think the more people are aware that this stuff goes on and goes on all around them, the better. But yeah, Damien, and that app you mentioned again was Everyday Racism, because I think I'm going to download that, because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would recommend it's free. Like, it's Everyday Racism. It's by an Australian group called All Together Now. They're an anti-racist group.
Yeah.
And I just found out about it a couple of days, and it's very thought-provoking.
Yeah, I certainly think I might have a download of that and try it out for a few days. And Damien, I'd love to keep in touch with you. Maybe a few months down the road, we might have another chat about this, because I think it's important to keep this kind of conversation going and out there. And if even one person listens and think, actually, you know what? Yeah, I'm kind of being a little bit brainwashed with some of this stuff, and they just need to think about it slightly, would be brilliant.
Well, it's just keeping your eyes open, yeah.
That's me. Damien, thanks very much for coming on, and it was
right,
a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to talking to you again, Damien. Thank you.
All right, Mark. Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.